Armand de Croupe is an author. He is a founder. He is a master inventor, a deal leader. His newest book is The Idea Space, The Science of Awakening Your New Self. Welcome to the show, Clem.
Thanks for having me, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, why you do what you do.
Yeah, so I'll give you the quick elevator pitch story. So born in Belgium, moved to Spain, and then moved to the United States at the age of 6. Went to a small school with 20 people in my grade up until around 8th grade. Then high school with 700 people, and college with 10,000 people in my grade. So kept exponentially going up. Decided I want to do consulting after school, so went to work at IBM. But then at IBM, I fell into the classic purpose trap, which is like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Kind of what is the bigger picture of life? And so all of that culminated in me trying to take a sabbatical. And wrote writing the book, The Idea Space, like you mentioned at the beginning. And so now I'm just expanding the brand however I can. So wrote the book. There's two meditation card decks out related to the book out now, a third card game on the way, and a Gen AI meditation app that's coming out within the next year. So lots of good stuff happening at the moment.
Nice. Is bigger better than smaller, or smaller better than bigger, or does it all depend?
Oh, man, I feel like it all depends. I know Nassim Taleb, he's got a good saying where some of the books that took him the longest to read were some of the shortest ones, right? Mm-hmm. So some can be jam-packed with good info. Others is just blabber on blabber.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we've all had that experience. So classic purpose trap. What does that mean?
Yes, I think it's like the idea of what we want to do with our lives. Like I was watching the show The Bear on Hulu. And in one of the episodes, they were talking about kind of what's their dream? What do they want to do? And it was kind of sad because they were talking about how they didn't get to achieve their dream, right? And they're just at a point in life where they feel like it's too late. And then they're living with this regret. And Jeff Bezos has a good saying where he goes, I try to live my life in a way to minimize the amount of regret. And so I was in my early 20s and I was like, you know what? Now is the best time, better than ever, to try to minimize as much regret as possible. And so I needed to do something that would give me wealth, and not wealth in the traditional sense of money, but wealth in the sense of time, having the time free to myself. Because like Naval says, if someone's telling you when to be at work at 8 a.m., 7 a.m., then you're not truly free, right? So I think that was kind of the purpose gap I was in, and tried to find a solution that would work for myself.
Existential questions and crises at such a young age.
Yeah, my quarter life crisis. I'm excited for the midlife one. That's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, that's going to be really good for sure.
Yeah, the convertible is definitely coming in at some point.
Yeah, awesome, awesome convertible. You could probably grow your hair long or something like that.
Yeah, get it like yours, nice and flowy.
Yeah, maybe I'm having maybe my midlife crisis is taking place right now. Probably. Who knows?
You got a convertible?
No, but I've been thinking about getting one.
There you go. It's time.
We are on to something. All right. So what is consciousness?
Oh, loaded question. I don't know if there's like a true way to define it, because I feel like life is one of those things where as soon as we try to put something in a specific frame, it changes to something else. So to mm-hmm. define consciousness acutely is almost impossible. But in the book, I try to define it in a way that's congruent with modern physics. And physics isn't the end-all, be-all truth. It's an approximation for the world around us, right? And so in this sense, you have your idea space, which consists of your thoughts, emotions, sensations, perceptions, and the empty set. So that's kind of a mental model for your mind. And then consciousness is like shining a light onto any one part of your idea space. And so a cat and a dog, they have their own form of idea spaces and their own form of consciousness that they can light onto their idea space.
Thoughts, ideas, emotions, empty set, and what else?
Thoughts, emotions, sensations, perceptions, and the empty set.
What's the empty set?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So the empty set is intuitively nothing. So for instance, let's say I have a table that's describing apples. It has various characteristics like color. Does it have a stem? And then if you look at the table, you'll see it's like, oh, this one's yellow, this one's red, and this one's blank. That's kind of the empty set. There's not nothing, right? It's like, we don't know what the value is. It's empty. There's nothing. And so in our mind, in our idea space, the empty set is kind of beginner's mind. When you're able to take your idea space and just for a moment, just have it vanish and go whoosh, where there's no thoughts, you're not really, it's just a moment of just pure bliss and you get to start over. And in life, your idea space is always changing, right? It's impermanent, it's uncountable. And because of that, it's new ideas are always pouring in. And if you never take a moment to just stop and refresh your idea space, then your mind's just going to get cluttered. Thoughts of things that you were doing like 30 minutes ago when you're trying to start a new task are just going to bleed over and it's not going to work as effectively as you want it to. So that concept of the null set is really important just because it's something that's always there and you don't really have to do much to achieve it.
So is it, I'm not dragging all my past baggage into this and imprinting all that crap on something that I shouldn't ruin with that?
Yep, exactly. Like a good example of this is I was living with a roommate a couple years back in Washington, D.C., and he came home and someone cut him off in traffic. And it was like an hour later and he was still fuming, like absolutely fuming. And I was like, hey, man, like that was an hour ago. And the more you think about it, the more you remunerate on it, it's like you're only doing yourself a disservice. And so, again, that ability to just take a step back, look at your idea space objectively and try to make it kind of vanish in a way so that you can start fresh is a vital skill to have in life.
For sure. You hear stories about like Airbnb or companies that have come in and disrupted a space because the founders weren't coming from the hotel space. So they're not taking all this is the way we do it onto this new thing. Is it sort of like that?
Yeah, that's a beautiful comparison. And I feel like you get a lot of that nowadays too, where I think in academia, there's a heavy emphasis on peer review and that whole process. And I know that people in academia themselves sometimes aren't the biggest fans of that process just because it has become cumbersome and overburdened. But back in the day, that was basically the gist of it, right? Where you have a person with an idea that's coming in, usually sometimes from the outside, and it completely innovates the way that the space is happening, right? But at first, they probably seem like a crazy person, which makes total sense, right? And then over time, it's one of those things where Father Time is the judge of whether the idea is worth it or not.
It certainly makes sense that when I'm making a decision about something, I'm taking in information and trying to say this is the best way forward, that I would want to strip away all my past assumptions and fears and wants and that I'm tired, whatever, to be able to make the best possible decision. That there's a lot of value in that. That demands that I'm courageous. That demands that I understand that I'm doing it. It's how do I do it?
Yeah, I have a little cheat that you can do. So it's called the three U's. So there's past you, present you, and future you. And so what you do is you look at what each of the three U's would do in a specific situation, right? And then you give an arbitrary weighting to what past you wants, present you wants, and what future you wants. And of course, this all depends on what future you wants, right? And then based on that weighting, it'll give you a really good perspective on whether you should make a certain act, take a certain action or not. So for instance, if you want, for me, it was like, do I want to develop an app, right? Past me probably wouldn't have thought much about it. Present me wants to do it and future me would be super thankful for me having done it, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was making that decision where it's like, I don't even know where to start, it didn't really matter just because in my mind, the decision to create it over the long run was worth it. So that's kind of a good example of where that decision matrix came in handy.
Yeah, I think that's awesome right there. You think about like if I were to make a move, I want to make a career move or I want to move to a new city or whatever. It's like past me. Yeah, past me wants me to do that because my mom would be proud of me or my ego would really like that. But da, 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 da. So I love that. That's awesome framework.
Yeah, and it's easy to do. It takes like 5-10 seconds. It's just a matter of remembering to do it. Which is hard sometimes in life when everything's just happening so fast.
Well, right. That's kind of the whole game, right? To be able to be conscious and make conscientious decisions about things and Do you find that conscious, being conscientious and being conscious, that's, is it exhausting at first? Is it, it's like building a new muscle?
Yeah, 100%. And I think conscious is this layer that's always there. And then whether we are conscientious or mindful of it is like a whole different ball game. Just because a lot of times we get lost in thought. I feel like most people have had that experience before where they're daydreaming about the inaccessible past or about the imaginary future. And that's totally normal. But there's a good quote by Joseph Goldstein, who's sort of a guru, who says, you experience the past as a thought in the present, and you experience the future as a thought in the present. That's just super powerful, just to realize that, okay, you could be thinking about all these other things, which could be triggering certain emotions, usually anxiety or worrying if it's about the future. And through that just realization, you're able to take a step back and come to that choice point and come to a more mindful routine that's a little less stressful, just because, like you said, when you first started, it can be overwhelming. Like, I don't know about you, but like a lot of my friends sometimes are afraid to just sit alone with their own thoughts. There's a thing called a sensory deprivation tank where you just sit, float, and I love it. It feels great. But I bring it up to some of my friends, and they're just terrified of sitting alone with their thoughts. I don't know, have you experienced something similar with kind of friend groups in the past?
Sure, for sure. One of my favorite quotes comes from Blaise Pascal. He says, "Majority of man's problems stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room by himself." So,
Oh yeah, I have got a, as you can tell, I'm a sucker for good quotes. So I
sure.
write them all down on my phone, and that's one of them. So I'm glad you brought it up. That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, I always wonder how I do in solitary confinement.
Right? Like, how long do you think you could go before you start going cuckoo?
I think I could go a long time, but probably like 6 minutes.
Yeah. Have you ever done a silent retreat or anything of the sort?
I haven't. I really need to because I do think highly of my ability to do that.
Yeah, I feel like you would love it. I did a 1 week one and it was illuminating, but the people there were doing a 3 month one. And
Huh.
I'm like, oh, good for you guys.
That is next level for sure.
Yeah.
So awakening your new self. What is that?
Yep. So it's non-self.
Oh, non-self. See, I have such good handwriting.
Yep,
Non-self.
you're golden. So non-self is so. Let's break the title down. So the idea space is kind of what we talked about before, a mental model for your mind that consists of your thoughts, emotions, sensations, perceptions, and the empty set. Awakening is to know what reality is not. So in science, you can never prove something to be true. You can only prove something to be false, or you don't have enough information. That's kind of like the standard scientific methods. For instance, you make a hypothesis, you test your hypothesis, and it's either, okay, that's wrong, or we got to do more tests. And if you do a lot of tests from different angles and your hypothesis still stands, then you have what becomes a natural law, right? It's not true, but you just really can't disprove it. And so that's kind of this concept of awakening, to have a better understanding of what the world isn't through science. Non-self is this concept that I, your name, George Clément, isn't really who you actually are, right? It's an approximation of who you are at a certain point in time. So for example, there's the physicist Richard Feynman, who's one of the greatest physicists of all time. He had a good expression where he's like, what is a chair? Right? When we look at a chair, we'll say, okay, that's obviously a chair. But if we look upon it closer, we'll look at the atoms. Some of the atoms are a chair, some of the atoms are paint, some of the atoms are dust falling on the chair. So to say what a chair is very precisely is borderline impossible. And so in order to make life easier, we deal with idealizations and approximations. And so, in a similar light, your non-self and I is just a characterization and approximation we use to approximate our idea space, right? So, George, you have all your thoughts, emotions, sensations, perceptions, and the empty set, right, in your mind. And all of that is happening. And I can't see it. No one can see it other than you, right? It's the first person. And so, in order to approximate your idea space at any point in time, I'll just say George. And so, the concept of non-self is very important and powerful in a lot of teachings, especially Zen, because we attach a lot to I. I'm supposed to do this in life. I want this. I crave that, right? And I is kind of at the heart of it all. And what we realize is the more we attach to objects, the more we suffer, just because the world is impermanent. The world is always changing. And when you try to grasp onto something that is always changing, it's like trying to grab onto water. You'll grab it in your palms, and then it'll just float out of your hands. And so putting it all together, so you have the idea of space, which is your mental model of the mind. Awakening is using science to have a better understand and point of view around the world. And your non-self is just this idea that I is just an approximation of who you really are.
I love it.
Yeah, a bit beefy.
No, I think that's great. How has it all been received so far?
I think so far so good. I won't sugarcoat it and say that it's a super easy concept to fully digest. So like at its heart, the idea of space is an exact solution to Einstein's field equation, which is the guiding force for all general relativity. So there definitely is some learning curve. And I think with the book, it tries to approach it in a way that's more accessible to a mass audience. But it still is tricky. For instance, there's this concept called clopen, which is something that is open and closed at the same time. It's not a very intuitive concept for most people, just because for us in our human minds, it's like a door is either open or closed. It can't be both. And so I think there's sort of some challenges to it. And I think just making more content, especially on like the video side with YouTube nowadays, it's so easy to just get content out there and just break it down further, and then getting more content out with the app as well, just to ease people into it and explore it from different angles, just so it is easier to digest, I think will be important. But everyone who's read it so far has loved it. At least that's what they've told me, and they may be biased, so I'm okay with that. But yeah, it's been a great ride so far.
Well, I think it's really exciting. I think that the reality that so many of us are afraid to go into that sensory deprivation tank or to sit quietly in that room by ourselves, and that we are all so distracted these days because there are so many distractions in the world. That's sort of clopen, right? That the world itself is clopen, that there are some people who are deeply in tune with their non-selves and some people who are absolutely disinterested because all they're doing is watching TV and eating. And I'm both those things, by the way. So I appreciate your work.
Yep, same. Don't worry. I've been crushing some TV. We've been watching House of Dragon here, and that's been very exciting. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I think one of the key things about the book is that it approaches this whole concept very objectively. And so if you are very skeptical of it, which is totally fair because mindfulness usually is very woo-woo, it allows you to approach it from a new, more scientific lens.
I've got one more quote that we all know. The unexamined mind is not worth, the unexamined life is not worth living. So
yeah, oh, that's a good bar right there. I love that one too.
So this is a wonderful, probably, well, I imagine this is not a 101 level book, Clem, but it certainly can be anybody's entry point into exploring their consciousness. And that is really what it is all about. So thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and where can they get a copy of The Idea Space?
Yeah. Thank you for having me, George. This has been a blast. The website, www.theideaspace.io. It's got everything you need. It's actually got the first chapter for free online. So you can go there, download it. And then if you like it, you can go check out the book as well.
Awesome. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Clem your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to theideaspace.io and check out the first chapter of The Idea Space and pick up the whole book and get started down this path. I know I'm excited to dig into it myself. And I think that the more thoughtful we can be and the more discovery and seeking that we can do, the better off then that we're all going to be, and it's going to help everybody. So thanks again, Clem.
Thanks again, George. Have a good one.
You too. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.